I'm on my way to that fair land. Charles expressed our desire to be on that way and the promise that God has given us in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that indeed we can be on our way to that fair land. Of course, the Old Testament presents us with a group of people that God had determined to make a great nation from one couple. He was from Adam, or from Abraham and Sarah. We find that he would make a great nation that was taken into captivity and there increased in population, and God, through Moses, brought them out of that tribulation to take them to a land that was promised to them. They saw so many miracles on that journey. It was evident that God was with them all the way. There were times that they complained and God would answer their complaints. Certainly it was apparent that God heard them, He cared about them, that He wanted them to be His special people. And so they came to the borders of that promised land. And God told them to choose a representative from each tribe and to go in and to spy out the land. I want you to see how good it is, He said. I want spies, and basically God was saying that, you know, He was assuming the spies would come back and tell them how good it was, and the people would get excited about it, and yeah, let's go. Certainly they would have had every reason to believe such a report. But you remember that 10 came back and said, it's certainly a land of milk and honey. It's a beautiful, wondrous land. It's a great place to live. But the people who live there have fortified cities. And they're bigger than we are. And they're men of war. And we're not. I don't see how there's any way we can do this. I suppose they saw some way to get across the Red Sea on dry ground when they were standing there. But Joshua and Caleb were the two, you remember, who spoke up and says, we are well able to go into this land. If God is for us, nobody can be against us. We serve Almighty God. There's nothing impossible for God. But the people believed the report of the 10 instead of the 2. And you remember that because of that, God said, because of their unbelief, this generation is going to die in the wilderness. Only Joshua and Caleb are going to enter into the promised land because they were faithful. Well, I want to pick up tonight with a little bit of the rest of the story on that. 40 years have gone by. That generation has died off. And now, Moses, of course, has died as well. Joshua is in charge of leading the children of Israel. They're going into the promised land. The tribes are going to receive their inheritance. And Caleb reminds Joshua of what God had promised the two of them. We read Joshua chapter 14 and verses 6 through 13. It says, then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, you know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me at Kadesh Barnea? I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses, while Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now here I am this day, 85 years old. As yet, I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me as a spy into the land. Just as my strength was then, so now my strength is for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave him Hebron, gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. I'm 85 years old, but I can still do what God said I can do. When he says, it may be that the Lord will be with me, it wasn't, I hope so, I think so. No, it was from the standpoint of the fact that I know the Lord is with me. And I can do this. Give me this mountain. No small task. There were other cities in the plains. There were other lands that could have been taken a little bit easier. Give me this mountain. I mean, the fact that it's on a mountain means it's going to be more difficult. Just change of elevation. It's easier to fortify your cities when they're elevated. Give me this mountain. I want to notice tonight three great things about Caleb. Numbers 14 and verse 24. We read, my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. So God is speaking to Moses here, and he's telling him about Caleb and about the fact. He said, you tell Caleb that I'm going to keep him alive and I'm going to bring him into the land. I'm going to give him the very ground that his feet set foot on. To be for him and for his descendants. They will inherit it. But Caleb, he says, has a different spirit. Sometimes we talk about different individuals and we say, they're a little bit different. And we can mean a lot of different things about that, but God meant it in a good way. God meant that he had the kind of spirit, his spirit was different from the spirit of the 10 spies. His spirit was different from the majority of Israel who doubted God, who listened to what God said and then said, well, I don't know if that's possible or not. Sometimes we're like that. God calls us to faithfulness. God calls us to perfection. God calls us to his side in heaven. And we say, yeah, we can do that, but I don't know how to do that. And we begin to doubt. But Caleb was of the spirit that when he heard what God said and he knew who God was, he was of the spirit that he could do what God said. I'm preparing a series of lessons right now that I'm really excited about. And it's really for camp. It's going to be our theme at camp this year, based upon revere God and keep his commandments. I've looked at that statement of God, that this is the whole purpose of man, and it's amazing to me how many places in the Bible that principle is stated, but not in those very words. It occurs to me that you will not keep the commandments of God unless you first revere God. You know, that was the problem with Israel. Why didn't they embrace the promise and go in and inherit the land? We're told it's because of unbelief, but why didn't they believe? Well, basically it comes back to the fact that they didn't revere God. They didn't revere how great God was and how much God could do for them, and the fact that God says, I'm going to give you the land. And they looked more to themselves rather than to the God who had brought them across the Red Sea on dry ground and fed them with manna and quail and water from a rock. Caleb had a different spirit. It was a spirit that revered God. And whatever God said, he knew God could do. And he didn't doubt it the least bit. It was a spirit of, we are able. Not because of how strong I am, but we are able because God is with us. It was a spirit of loving and obeying God. How did Jesus say, revere God and keep his commandments? If you love me. You know, isn't that the same as revering God? If you love me, keep my commandments. Caleb loved God. He revered God. And so he's going to do whatever God said to do. And he's going to obey him. It was the spirit of faith and hope. He heard what God said. He trusted what God said. He had hope in what God said. And so he was ready to do what God said. It was a spirit that was active and zealous and sacrificial. You know, you can just imagine just the little bit that we read about Joshua and Caleb. You can just imagine what it would have been like to have been around those two fellas. There was never any doubt in their mind. There was never any pessimism in them. They were always optimistic. There wasn't anything they couldn't do. Because they knew that they were doing what God told them to do. And you know, that should be the same way with each and every one of us. When we know we're doing what God tells us to do, we should know that there's nothing that we can't do that God wants us to do. We're doing it to His praise and to His glory. It was a spirit that was constant and persevering and unwavering. They didn't doubt. You could always count on them. Even when the people didn't want to count on them, you could count on Caleb. You could count on Joshua. What spirit do you possess? Do you possess the spirit of the 10 spies? Or do you possess the spirit of the majority of Israel that died in the wilderness? Well, I don't know what you mean by that. Really? I'm going to a city. Are you? Do you believe you are? Do you believe you can? Do you know the way? That it's through Christ and abiding in His Word, trusting Him and obeying Him always, placing the kingdom of God and His righteousness first in your life. Nothing takes priority in your life but revering God and keeping His commandments. What spirit do you possess toward the Great Commission? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Said that to the apostles. 12 men. Go into the whole world. It's a big place. Preach the gospel to every person. You think every means every? Well, God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. They're not going to come to repentance unless they hear the good news of salvation that's in Christ. If they don't hear it from those who know the good news and know the truth, then who are they going to hear it from? Now, that generation that Jesus was speaking to died off long, long, long time ago. And other generations have come and gone, but God wants all people to be saved. How are they going to be saved? Only if the saved have the attitude towards the Great Commission that those 12 apostles did. Go, teach, baptize those who believe, and continue to teach them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Well, that's a big job. Yeah, it is. But can you think of a more satisfying, rewarding job than to share the gospel with people you know and people you don't know and see the Word of God fall on the different kinds of hearts that Jesus described in the parable of the sower? And when it falls on an honest and good heart, it germinates and grows and bears fruit to the glory of God. There's no greater satisfaction. So many times we say, well, it's a big job, and people have put up their defenses, and society as a whole has put up their defenses. And I just don't know if we can teach people the gospel anymore. How does God look at that kind of a conversation? Because he hears it. Even if it's a conversation that you're having in your own mind with yourself, God hears that conversation. And God says, look, you go and teach them. Give them a chance. They might reject you. They rejected me, Jesus said, but there are some who believe me, and there's some that will believe you. You go and teach for the sake of those who believe. As far as the ones who don't believe, then their blood is on their own hands. You say, well, I don't know if I can teach. Do you know somebody who can teach? I might be able to teach them. I'd be glad to talk to them. There's others in this congregation that are able to teach them. They'd be glad to talk to them. Just try to set up the conversation. See if they're interested in spiritual things, if they're interested in their soul. They may be, they may not be, but you'll never know until you ask. Is it a spirit? What kind of a spirit do you possess toward gaining the promised land of heaven? Are you striving for perfection? Are you seeking to be pure as He is pure? Are you desiring to be as holy as He is holy, as He teaches us from His Word? You know, what's the problem? If I'm not as pure as He is pure, if I'm not as holy as He is holy, what's the problem? Is the problem the Word of God just doesn't teach me what is expected of me and what holiness? Is that the problem? Or is the problem that we're like those 10 spies that says, well, we just can't do that. We're only human. Nobody's perfect. Certainly God doesn't expect us. I mean, He might say that everyone that has His hope in them purifies himself even as He is pure. But He can't mean that. Well, God knows how to talk to us, doesn't He? That's pretty plain language, isn't it? It seems pretty clear to me that that's what He expects of us. Now, here's the question. Is that what you expect of yourself? See, Joshua and Caleb were of the spirit that said, if God says I can do that, then I can do that. If God says that I can say no to sin, then I can say no to sin. If God says that I can practice righteousness, then I can practice righteousness. And it's that optimistic spirit of trusting in God that I can do what God teaches me to do. That's what's going to get us to our promised land. Another thing that I notice about Caleb is that he wholly followed the Lord. Now, holy here is not H-O-L-Y, although I'm sure that there's that part of it too, but it's W-H-O-L. It means that he completely followed the Lord. Joshua 14 and verse 9, it says, So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly, you have completely followed the Lord my God. Because you have wholly followed the Lord my God, you will enter the land. He was not guided by his feelings. Caleb didn't trust in what he felt, he trusted in what God said. And we would do well to do the same thing. Many people today are trusting in their own feelings or the feelings of others. You know, the 10 spies, they trusted in their feelings. When they came back and gave their report, the people trusted in their feelings. What did Caleb and Joshua trust in? They trusted in what God said. And they told the people to trust in what God said. But the people trusted in feelings. What's that teach you about your feelings and the feelings of others? You can't trust them. You can't trust your feelings. You can't trust the feelings and opinions of others. But we can trust the Word of God. He didn't doubt the ability of God in him. You know, when we doubt, what are we doubting? We're doubting ourselves. We're doubting our own abilities. And instead of focusing upon ourselves, we just need to trust in God. And just trust and obey. Don't we sing that? Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not trust and doubt, or trust and think about it, or trust and analyze it. No, just trust it and obey it. What course are you following? Caleb wholly, completely followed the Lord. What course are you following? In Joshua 14, or John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. Do you wholly trust him? Do you acknowledge that and then say, yeah, but I don't know if I can completely do what he tells me to do? Are you wholly following Jesus? You might say, are you wholeheartedly following Jesus? Because where do our doubts come from? They come from our heart, right? And we listen to our heart rather than we listen to God's Word. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You won't come to the Father unless you wholly trust him. Caleb chose the difficult. Again, Joshua 14 and verse 12. Give me this mountain, of which the Lord spake in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim are there, and the cities were great and fortified. You heard it. I heard it. I saw it with my own eyes. send me with my men to that land, that mountain. God said that He's going to give it to me. I'm going to take it. You know, when God promises you a gift, take it. When God offers you salvation, take it. When God offers you all of the spiritual blessings that are in Christ Jesus, take it. That's what Caleb was saying here. Did he say, it's going to be easy? No, he didn't entertain that idea. But he says, God promised it to me. And God's given me the ability to do what He wants me to do. And I'm going to do it to His glory, to His praise. At 85 years of age, He didn't ask for retirement. He didn't ask for something easy. He did not ask that it simply be given to Him. There was going to be a battle. People were going to die. But He chose the difficult, because that's what God had promised to Him. Sometimes we need to recognize that that's what God has given to us. God's given us the difficult. And the reason He gave you the difficult is because He's got faith in you that if you trust Him, you can obey Him and honor Him and glorify Him in spite of how difficult it might be. What was Caleb's reward? Well, it wasn't apparent at first. Moses told him, he said, you know, God's going to give you the land. You're going to have to wander in the wilderness for 40 years with these unbelievers, but God's going to give you the land. You're going to be 85 years old, but God's going to give you the land. All right. You know, that was the problem with a lot of Christians in the first century. That's what Peter was dealing with in 2 Peter chapter 3. Where's the promise of His coming? Everything remains as it was since the very beginning. Thought He was coming back. He's coming back. Well, why hasn't He come? God's not willing that any should perish. There's some other people out there that God's waiting on to save. And God knows that they'll respond to the gospel when they hear it. He knows they have an honest and good heart. He knows. So you just need to be patient. People have a hard time with being patient, don't they? Especially today. We can fix a meal in a microwave in a minute or two. That's too long. Sit there. Come on. Are you kidding me? It's not like you had to build a fire, you know, with a couple of sticks and then get it big enough and hot enough to actually cook your meal. We have a hard time with patience, don't we? Caleb was patient. Of all the other things that we've looked at, he was patient. He was counted with the minority. Two out of the thousands that had come out of Egypt are going to enter into the promised land. Makes you think, doesn't it? Straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Are you numbered with the few, or are you numbered with the many? People were ready to stone Caleb. They listened to what the 10 spies said, and then they listened to Joshua and Caleb. And not only did they not believe Joshua and Caleb, and them pleading with them and saying, hey, look what God's done for us. We can do this. God said we can do it. We can do it. Trust God. Instead of saying, yeah, maybe we can do it because God is God. God's on our side.
He's Almighty God. There's nothing impossible. Instead of thinking that, they picked up stones and were ready to kill him.
Do you think that maybe you would have just given up at that point? That wasn't the spirit of Caleb. That wasn't the spirit of Joshua. Joshua said, I'm going to do what God says. I don't care what anybody else says. I don't care if everybody else says we can't do it. I'm going to do what God says. That needs to be our spirit. He had to wander in the wilderness with the unfaithful for 40 years. Can you imagine that? People who doubt and people who say you can't do it. It's too difficult. It's too hard. I mean, he had to listen to all that for 40 years. But he did it. And the whole time he remained optimistic and said, we can do whatever God tells us to do. He had to deal with that for 40 years. But one thing that was apparent right from the beginning was that Caleb had God's approval. God said to Moses, told Moses to tell Caleb, you're all right with me. It doesn't matter if everybody else wants to stone you. You're all right with me. And that's all that mattered to Caleb. And that should be all that matters to us. My servant Caleb. When we are committed to doing the will of God, regardless of who stands against us, we need to be sure that God gives that same testimony about us. My servant. Put your name in there. You trust him and you obey him. While the unfaithful were waiting to die, Caleb was waiting to enter the promised land. While the unfaithful are waiting to die, you and I are waiting to enter into that fair city where the roses never fade. Is it hard? Is it difficult? Yeah. It was hard and difficult for Joshua and Caleb too. But they did it, and because they did it, you can do it. Because they trusted in God, you can trust in God. There's no reason to doubt. His faithfulness was never forgotten. Joshua remembered. The Holy Spirit had it recorded for all time and eternity. You and I read about it and study about it and are encouraged about it today. And who knows how many generations from now, people will still be encouraged about the story of Caleb and Joshua. He gains the victory. He enters in. He takes the land. He takes Hebron and all of its surrounding lands. He drives out the sons of Anak. He enjoys his victory for the Lord. He gives God the praise and the glory in the victory and in the cities that he established. He gains the victory. Here's the question. What spirit do you possess? Do you have a different spirit? Something different about that guy. Yeah, is it a spirit of spiritual optimism? We can do it. Because God is with us and nothing is impossible for God. If God wants us to do it, we can do it. Do you wholly follow the Lord? Caleb chose the difficult. It's not that Caleb was a glutton for punishment. It's that God said, Caleb, you can do this. And somebody's got to do it. God said, okay, if I can do it, I'll do it. If you say I can do it, Lord, I'll do it.
Our reward won't be apparent right at first. We still have to wander in the wilderness with the unbelievers. But we can be assured that we have God's approval. And we can be assured that that victory is before us. What about you tonight? What spirit do you possess? Are you on the Lord's side? Are you here tonight and out of Christ and saying, I don't know if I can be a Christian? God says you can. God says that if you will trust Him and obey Him, if you will revere Him and keep His commandments, you can follow Christ all the way to the throne of God. You need to trust Him. You need to obey Him tonight. Turn from your sins and turn to Christ. Confess Him as the Son of God. Obey Him tonight. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. Be added to the body of the saved. And continue to abide in His Word. If you're here tonight and you're a child of God and you failed in that, but you see that I need to have the spirit of Caleb. Do you want that promised land of heaven? Sure you do. You wouldn't be here tonight if you didn't want that. Trust Him tonight. Obey Him tonight. Commit yourself to Him tonight. If you're subject to the invitation in any way, we encourage you to come as we stand and sing this song.